don't speak Spanish.
No, I don't.
All right, the reason this is going to look familiar is because about 2-3 weeks ago, the last time we did a practical discipleship topic, we talked about this principle Bible reading, and we discussed, thank you.
You're welcome.
We discussed the inductive Bible study method, which an easy way to remember it is O-I-A. And this is a Bible study principle that's taught in graduate schools. It's taught in campus ministries and college. Campus Outreach teaches this at what's called Leadership Project. In fact, are you guys, you're going, Gus.
I'm going.
Gus is going to Leadership Project.
I'm not sure yet.
Nick's not sure. Casey, did you ever go to Leadership Project?
I did. 2 years.
2 years. Wow. So, this is a great, great Bible study method, and I really appreciate Campus Outreach. So those of you who are about to graduate, go to college, or in a couple of years, want to recommend a college ministry, Campus Outreach. Can you get a what?
Yeah.
What? All right. So let me read to you from Psalm 119, 105. We read this last time, but this is why it's important for us to know what the Bible says. This is why it's important for us to take the Bible and put it on. Like I know it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That lights your way. But imagine for a moment, let's say it's dark, and you can put on some night goggles, and they affect your vision, and you can see clearly. So the word of God acts as a lamp that lights your path so you can see clearly. And it also, when it's applied properly, fully understood well, it acts as a lens by which you can see the entire world. And that's why we need to study the Bible. We need to know the Bible. And we need to know how to know the Bible. And that's why I'm teaching you. So this practical discipleship series is, we're going to cover all sorts of topics. We covered prayer already. This week, again, we're covering Bible study. But the whole point of this is that you girls and Josh are the future of the church. Y'all might be in high school right now, or about to enter high school. You might feel like, oh, I'm just a kid. I don't really have much to offer the world. But, I mean, your journey in serving God and serving the church starts now. And then you all are going to carry the mantle from people like me. People like Rachel and Casey. One day, I mean, most likely, we're probably going to get old way before you, have hips that won't let us do all the CrossFit we want to do, and we're going to need you to step up, right? Y'all get that? That's why it's important that you understand this stuff now and get started. So let's look at this Bible study principle, O-I-A, and you got these little sheets. We're going to fill in the blank. We're not watching the video like we did last time because that was way too confusing. I'm going to explain it to you instead. So let's start with the O. Observe. Observe. When you approach the Bible and you start observing what's in it, you're asking this simple question. What does the text say? It's like, what just jumps out right away? You're going to ask questions like, who? Who? What? When? Where? Why? And how? So go ahead and write those down. You're going to say, what does the text say? That's what I'm looking for. And to find that out, I ask, who? What? When, where, why, and how. How many of you were taught that in basic English class? Okay. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I was taught that too, but I did not pay attention. I should have. And I'll tell you why. Because this principle, when you start studying the Bible, is not just something that you want to do with just the Bible. I mean, people in our country need to be doing this with documents like the Constitution. or Bill of Rights. And now people want to go and they read these texts and then they are going to communicate to people like us and tell us, hey, this is what it says. When in reality, if we're reading and we're asking these questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how, we'd find out many of the things we're told about all sorts of different documents, including the Bible and other important documents, aren't true. So that's why this is so important. I wish I'd learned this. I didn't learn this until I was like 27. I didn't go to Campus Outreach. I was in BCM. Wah, wah. Which, it was a cool ministry. I can say that because Jeff's not here. Don't tell us of that. But, you know, I wish I'd learned this earlier on. So what does the text say? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Now let's move on to the I. That's the O. Anybody remember what the I stands for from a few weeks ago? Interpret. Yes, interpretation. So I stands for interpret. This is what I like to call the bridge. You're bridging from the past in a lot of ways to the present, and you're like standing in the middle. The process of interpretation, it's going to reveal things to you that are timeless. Things that are both true in the past and true in the present. You're asking, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I mentioned timeless truths. You're looking for what are some of the timeless truths that this teaches. Let me give you an example. I've been reading in Exodus. And if you're familiar with the story of Exodus, you know that God, His people, Israel, were in Egypt. How many of you have heard of the 10 plagues? Okay. Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. And so God, working through Moses and through Moses' brother Aaron, sends Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, hey, tell God this. And to just summarize what he tells Moses to say to Pharaoh, he says, hey, Pharaoh, you're not listening to me. You keep exalting yourself, but I'm God. And I've raised you up for this purpose so that my glory might be proclaimed in all the earth. And so when I read this, and I read that Pharaoh, because you read many times in Exodus, it says, on one hand, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And then in another place, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it's very confusing for people if they're not paying attention. They don't really know how to read the Bible. But what God said to Moses revealed something to me about how God was working. God is literally telling Pharaoh that everything he's doing, God had to will. And the very fact that he's king, God willed it. That's what I observed. I observed that God willed for Pharaoh to be king, and God willed for Pharaoh to do whatever Pharaoh was doing at the time. And in fact, God even said, at any moment, I could just destroy you like that. But I didn't, because I want glory. So I observed this thing. God was working in Pharaoh, and it was all for his glory. A timeless truth that I got from that. I saw what the text said, now bringing it into interpretation. I found the timeless truth. There is not a single person with power who doesn't have it without God. Meaning, people are in places of power because God wills it. No matter what. If God is who he says he is, according to what he said to Pharaoh, that's a timeless truth I can take away from it. That means my president, whether you like him or not right now, he's there by God's will. I don't understand it. And sometimes I might have to wait to find out later. But I see that God is working for his glory. And God is working for his glory in all types of people, whether they be good leaders or bad leaders. That was a timeless truth I learned. I took a bridge. I made the bridge. I made from the bridge from what I observed about then, and I discovered a timeless truth.
that's going to help me in the next section. So do you guys get the interpretation?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I think that's a little bit better than what the girl was saying. Well, I'm saying this about me teaching it, but
that's pretty prideful. But I want you guys to, girls and guys, to understand this. We're trying to identify things in interpretation that are always going to be true, no matter what, and then can lead us to the last thing that we do when we study the Bible. And this is the A. Apply. We're saying, what must I do with this? Or what does this mean for me? Okay, it's one thing to think that God purposed Pharaoh to be the king of Egypt. It's also one thing to say, okay, well, that means that God has a hand in all of history, and that regardless of who's president now or later, God's still working and purposing things for his glory. But what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? So to help us find this out with this scripture example, let's go over some of these things that you can, that will help you find that out. Number one, is there a central truth I need to put into practice? Is there a central truth I need to put into practice? Next, is there a promise, command, or example I need to follow or to avoid? Next, how do I respond to what the passage is saying? Next, does it challenge how I see the world? That's probably one of the biggest things to take away from the example I just gave you. How does it challenge how I see the world? And then the last one, what are the implications for the community that I am a part of? So in this process of application where I'm taking these timeless truths, let's just take, for example, what I just shared with you. All the things I observed about how God was working in Egypt, in the Israelites, working for his glory. I'll tell you what, it didn't make sense to them. They were frustrated. They were being beaten. They were slaves. Every time God did an amazing plague, it just made matters worse for them. Pharaoh got more angry, so they're kind of sitting here like, what's going on? They didn't really know what God was really doing. They weren't privy to some of the conversations Moses was having with Pharaoh. So we are. And we've established a timeless truth that God raises up people, whether we like it or not. He allows them to have power and leadership, whether we like it or not. But the ultimate goal for all of it is for his glory, which we may not completely understand this side of heaven. You have to acknowledge that. So what does this mean for me today? Well, we have a president whose policies I don't necessarily agree with. I'm showing you my cards. I'm showing you I have the Queen of Spades, whatever you want to say. I'm struggling. The way I view the world because of my biblical principles, I'm not really happy about a lot of the things that my president is implementing. So here's the question. What am I going to do about it? Well, God tells me through his word that he raises up leaders and he works for his glory. So maybe, just maybe, I need to start changing how I see the world. Instead of getting angry about something, maybe I should just see it working in the hands of a sovereign God. Means, Caleb, you need to trust God with this whole thing. Caleb, you need to surrender all the frustrations you might have about this leader you don't agree with, surrender them to God. Don't grumble. This is another thing the Israelites, you'll read in Exodus, they did. They just kept grumbling. They grumbled when they were in Egypt as slaves, and then when they get rescued, they grumble about being rescued and what that looked like. So I'm not going to grumble. I'm going to learn from my interpretation that God is still in control. I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to seek to not grumble. Okay. O-I-A. Everybody say the first one. What is the first one?
Observe.
Observe. What is the second one?
Interpret.
What is the third one?
Apply.
Apply. Now, let me, before we practice on, everybody, you can turn over your piece of paper. We're going to practice this in a minute, but one thing I want to say to you as we continue on, and we're probably going to split into two groups and do this together. Does that sound good? All right? Everybody nod your head. You have no choice. We're going to do it anyway. So I want y'all to practice this as a group. Sometimes, you're probably aware that people don't always agree about what they read in the Bible. This is a frustrating reality in the world we live in. There are all sorts of different opinions and things that people bring to the book that we cherish, the Bible. And they come to different conclusions than we do. I want to tell you what the most important place, well, there's two most important places, but there is one in particular that you need to take into consideration as you're doing this. The interpretation phase of your study. And I want to say this. Do not skip the O when you go to the I. That's what a lot of people do when they study the Bible. They don't say, this is what the text says. This is what the text says. And instead, they go, oh, wow. Christ is seated at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. Yet surely Paul really meant in their time. You know, kind of, it just bypass everything that the text is saying and come to their own interpretation. And then they let that drive how they apply what is written. Someone who does that is not going to read a text like what we're reading right here in Ephesians 1:20-23. They're going to read things like God put Christ over the church as head. And they're going to say, well, that was then. This is now. We have a better understanding. So I want to encourage you that as you're doing this OIA process, don't interpret it by what you think it should mean. Go to what it actually is saying. That's why it's so important you do these in the steps, okay? All right. Who was a killer in the game? Raise your hand if you got the opportunity to kill. Wow. All right, I want all y'all killers to stand up.
Serial killers.
Okay. All right. Now I want y'all to follow me. And then the rest of y'all,
clap for him. Yeah, thank you.
This is your punishment for killing so many people.
All
right. All the killers go into that in that room next to us. And now, just so y'all know, this is not... We're just going to be doing... We're going to practice this together, okay? All right. How do you feel leading this?
I will do whatever you want me to do. All
right. Why don't you, because I know you really know these principles through Campus Outreach. Can you lead the group in OIA through the text that we are looking at?
Gladly.
All right. Okay. Y'all have fun.